Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're beginning in verse 25. And when you find your place, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Father, we humbly come into your presence this morning. Father, we desire to honor you, to give you praise. Father, you are the great and the mighty God. You are the sovereign one. You are the one who created all things, one who sustains all things. We pray this morning that you would help us to understand this portion of Scripture, that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would bring understanding, that you would bring comfort and encouragement. Father, there are a number of things in this life that have us to worry or to get anxious. Father, you tell us not to worry, not to be anxious, because you know what we have need of. You are actively involved in every aspect of our life at every moment. Let us be encouraged this morning, Father, by this portion of Scripture, and we thank you for it. We pray that all that's said and done will be glorifying to you, and your name will be made great. Father, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Now, last week, we discussed Jesus' teaching on eternal treasures. Our Lord labored the point as he brings it to verse 24 that no one can serve two masters. In serving the world, we are only storing up for ourselves treasures on earth, treasures that perish, treasures that don't last, worldly things. However, serving God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, results in heavenly treasures that will not perish because the eternal King is granting them to us in His eternal heaven. We saw as we worked our way through the text that God demands from His people full devotion. He demands your heart. He demands your mind, when it speaks of the eye is the lamp of the body. Our hearts should be committed to God. Our minds should be full of the knowledge and strength, or knowledge and truth of God. And then our service to Him should be a full commitment, that our wills would be bent towards Him, to working and to laboring for Him. This is the very same thing that the world demands of you. The world does not want part of you, it wants all of you. We have to understand that failing to commit ourselves wholly to Christ results in a number of consequences. Particular consequences, namely, worry and anxiety. And that's what Jesus is going to teach us this morning. The mindset on the earthly treasures is a mind that is not trusting God to maintain their existence. Do you understand that? Whenever you're trusting in the things of the world, you're not trusting God for your existence. You're not trusting God to provide for you. You're not trusting God to care for you. Instead, the burden rests on you. And what a great burden that it is. When you trust in yourself to maintain you and your family's needs, worry and anxiety can easily creep in. It doesn't take much. If you're trusting in your own strength, then worry and anxiety can easily creep in, because think about this. If you trust in your own strength, if you trust in your job, if you're trusting in whatever it is that you do for a living, and something goes wrong, what happens? A number of things can happen. One is that you can be absolutely devastated that something didn't go right at work, something didn't come through at work, or maybe you fall ill and you can't work. How easily worry can creep in then. How easy it is to get anxious because you're not able to provide anymore. So then we can become devastated. We can have it can result in depression. And then what happens is, as we start to labor even more, we're not turning ourselves to Christ. We're still trying to do it in our own strength, and it seems as if we're just sinking further and further and further. We're not accomplishing anything, and truthfully, we're not. We're just trying to stay above water. But it seems as if, like Solomon says, we're just striving after the wind. Nothing is being accomplished. When things like that happen, it may also remind us of our frame, of how frail we are. Remind us of our humanness. And in this, hopefully that would turn us then to Christ. Turn us back to God and focus ourselves on Him who is the Sovereign One. The kind of worry that Jesus is speaking of in the text today is not a worry. We have to understand that this kind of worry is not of God. This anguish, this grief, this distress that is being referred to, it's not of God. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." Worry puts your focus in the wrong direction. Puts the focus on you, or puts the focus on the problem itself. When you have that kind of worry creeping into your life, instead of looking unto Christ, and casting our care upon Christ, because that's what the Scripture tells us to do. Not to be worrying, anxious, and then to turn to the problem or turn to ourselves. The idea is that when things like that come up in life, that you turn yourself to Christ. That you turn yourself to God. And He desires you to do so, by the way. The Scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." God cares for you. He cares about what's going on in your life. He cares about the trial that you're enduring, the suffering that you're enduring, those times of great distress. He cares. But we have to react to them in the right way as well. Knowing that He cares and trusting that He cares, because when we don't, we're demonstrating that we don't believe Him. We demonstrate that we don't believe what He says in His Word concerning His care and provision for us. And that is sin. You know, focusing on Christ and trusting God for our very existence can eliminate worry and anxiety. And Lord willing, we'll see that in the text today. But as we work our way through here, we're going to look at a few things. Your value in the sight of God. The providence of God, the priority of God in your life. So let's begin in verse 25 of our text. Jesus says this. He begins, "For this reason I say to you." Now this has a direct connection with everything that He just said prior to this. For this reason, knowing that the treasures of the world offer only a temporary security, knowing that the treasures of the world perish, knowing that they cannot satisfy, they give a temporary comfort, temporary pleasure, only the treasures of God last. Only God Himself is the one who provides for you. For this reason, having all of this in mind, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Jesus says this, knowing the things that he just said, knowing of the differences of the treasures on earth and the treasures in heaven, knowing that your heavenly Father is the one who grants these things to you, that it's your heavenly Father that has saved you, that it's your heavenly Father who has created you. All of the things prior to this, all of our knowledge is brought down into this. For this reason, I say to you, don't be anxious about your life. Why do you worry? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink? And he says this at the end of that verse, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is it not something else that's necessary for your existence besides food and clothing? Yeah, it's God. God is the reason for your existence. Food and clothing are things that he has provided for us, but our existence is absolutely dependent upon God. Every breath that we take is dependent upon God. Every moment of life is dependent upon God. So then why worry? Why do you let anxiety get to you? Do you not trust the sovereign God? If he created you, will he not provide for you? Does he not provide for everything else in creation? And that's Jesus' point. That's what he's getting ready to get to. Does God not take care of everything else in his creation and sustain it? The answer to that is yes. So why is it that we would think he wouldn't do the same for us? Why is it that we allow worry to weigh us down and to rob us of the joy that is in Christ? And the answer to that is nothing should. If you have faith in God, if you trust God, there is absolutely nothing that should bring you down to that point, that level of worry, of anguish, of grief, of distress. He illustrates the point. He doesn't just tell us something and then just leave it at that. Jesus is going to illustrate the point for us. He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You think about the birds, Jesus says. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God takes care of all of his creation. He cares for the birds. He feeds them. All the animals of the earth, God provides for them. He provides the nourishment that they need for their existence as well. He is their creator. But Jesus is making the point to say he's their creator. He's providing for them. But he's your Father. How much more valuable are you than these? These are his creations, yes. How much more valuable are you? You being created in the image of God. You being the pinnacle of God's creation. Do you realize that? You know, when you look in the creation account says, let the earth bring forth, let the sea bring forth. And it was so until you get to man. And then God says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So God doesn't command the earth to bring forth man. God fashions man, and he breathes the breath of life into him. He created all other things. He creates the universe. He created the world, the stars, all the host of heaven. And then he creates you, the pinnacle of his creation. How much more valuable are you than anything else in creation? Everything else in creation demonstrates his glory and his majesty to you. How much more valuable are you? Now, something to point out here. The birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, but God feeds them. One thing we don't want to take away from this is that they just sit idly by, sitting on a twig, waiting for God to feed them. These gather the insects, they gather the worms, they make their nest, and it is God who is providing them the instinct to do all of these things. So they do work. They do work for their food. They do those things, and it is absolutely within God's sovereignty, within God's care that He is providing all of these things for them. Are you not worth much more than they? He goes on, and who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? You know, it is amazing to me the steps that people will take in order to try to preserve their own life, as if worrying and doing this and doing that can add a single hour to their life. And that's Jesus' point. You cannot add any more to your life than what God has appointed for you. In Psalm 139, the psalmist makes this statement. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. In your book were written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. The span of your life has already been determined by God. It is not going to be a surprise to God whenever you leave this world. He's not going to look and say, I wasn't expecting you this time. Because the time that you leave is the time that He ordained for you to leave this world. There's nothing that happens by coincidence. There's nothing that happens by chance when it comes to the sovereign hand of God working in creation. Everything happens according to His will. He has decreed it. We look at what God's Word says in Isaiah 46. He's declared the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel will stand and I will do all my good pleasure. So knowing this, why do you worry about your life? Why do you worry? Because Jesus says, it ain't going to get you anywhere. It's only going to bring you down. It's only going to weigh you down because you can't add a single hour to your life. No matter how much you worry, now how much you really put yourself into worrying about your life or the measures that you take or the steps that you take to try to prevent your death, you cannot add a single hour to your life. God has already determined that. He has determined the day that you will leave. He has determined the means that you will leave. You can't add a single hour. God is the creator of the body. Will He not sustain you until your appointed time comes? So why do you worry? Why do you allow yourself to have anguish and grief over your life? You know, there are many people who don't even leave the house very much because they're too afraid of driving. Even things like that. They're so afraid of what's going to happen. You got other people that have a number of different fears, a fear of flying or whatever the case is. If it's God's will that the plane crash, it's going to crash. If it's God's will that you depart this world on this particular day, it doesn't matter if you're in a vehicle or you're in a plane or you're sitting at home thinking to yourself, peace and safety. When God's appointed time comes, you will depart. And it will be according to His will. So why worry? You're going to be here until He's done with you. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Perhaps Jesus has in mind here the beautiful flowers that come into bloom during this time of the year. And he looks and he says, now consider these. Look how beautiful that they are arrayed. Look how your Lord has caused them to grow, and look at the beauty and the majesty of it. You can go outside and you can look and see the beauty and the majesty of God and His creation, whether you're looking at plants or whatever. And God says to them, consider these. They don't toil, they don't spin. It's God who causes their growth. It is God who provides the water and what have you to have them to grow. He says, I tell you, not even Solomon and all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. And yet, for these are destined just to be cut down or thrown into the fire or to wither or whatever. But how much more valuable are you? And will he not more so clothe you because you are more valuable than this creation out here? Why do you worry about clothing? God clothes the grass that is out here with the beauty and all of this. Why do you worry? Are you not more valuable than they? That is the point that he is continually emphasizing. Are you not more valuable than anything else in creation? And the answer to that is yes, you are. You are more valuable. You are created again in His image. So why do we worry about clothing? Why do we worry how I'm going to clothe myself? Will God not provide your needs? In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, God provides for our needs through the means of working, sometimes through the means of other people. But He provides. It all comes from Him. So again, why do we worry? We worry because we're not trusting that He's going to provide our needs. We're not trusting Him that He is telling us in His Word, not only here but in other passages of Scripture, that He's going to sustain us. And yet we don't believe Him. We get too caught up. We get too worried. How am I going to feed my family? What am I going to clothe myself with? What's going on with me? God is your Father, beloved. Will He not take care of you? Will He not provide for you? And that's what Jesus says next. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You of little faith. Worry and anxiety creeping into our lives, taking our focus off of God, causes unbelief to fester even more. Perhaps God is not taking care of things, so I have to do it my own self. I have to take the measures my own self to provide for me or to take care of me or to provide for my family or whatever. Jesus says, you're of little faith. This is your Father in heaven. The one who controls all things. Do you understand that? That not one thing happens in His creation that He did not ordain to happen. Not one thing happens in this world that He did not decree for it to happen. Nothing happens apart from the sovereign will of God. God is not up in heaven going, "Oh man, I didn't know they were going to do that. Wow, I didn't see this coming. I didn't know that this guy was going to come in here and do all this horrendous stuff. How am I going to react to this? How am I going to take care of this?" No. That is not the God you serve. The God you serve decreed whatsoever comes to pass. He works all things after the counsel of His will. That's what the Scripture tells us. He is the one who does whatsoever He pleases in heaven and on earth. So the question may come, well, does God allow bad things to happen? Of course He does. We see that happening in Orlando. Why did He allow it to happen? Can we really look and say that sinners don't deserve death? Not just speaking of them, but speaking for all of us here. Do not every single one of us, at every moment that we live, truly deserve death? And the answer to that is yes. It is by God's grace that each of us lives another day, breathing His air. So when bad things happen, we look, well, how could a good God allow this? The question that we ought to ask is why is God allowing me to continue to live? So before we look to God and we understand that He's decreed all things and we look to Him, well, how can you be good and allow all this stuff to happen? Just remember who you really are and what it is that you really deserve every single day. It is not unjust of God to take out any person in this world. All of us deserve His wrath. All of us deserve His justice. Can we really look and say we don't deserve it? The answer to that is no. We can't say that because we know we do. Do not worry then, saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?" Don't worry about all this stuff. These are the necessities of life. These are the things that God is going to provide for you. Does it mean that God's going to provide for your wants? And the answer to that is no. But God will provide your needs that will be for you to continue to exist. People want riches. People want bigger houses. People want cars and all this sort of thing. Does it mean that God's going to grant that? No. But He will provide shelter for you or clothing for you or food for you and drink for you in order that you can continue to do what you were put here to do. That's the thing. And that's where we mess up. We think perhaps that we are here just to get famous or to get rich or to make a big indent on history or whatever the case is. You're here for the reason of glorifying God and spreading the gospel to others. That's why you're here. So if we can really sit back and understand why it is that we're here, then we can get things into priority as they should be, that I am here to glorify God and to share the gospel. That's my focus. That's why I'm here. And God's going to provide everything I need in order to fulfill that task that He has given me. Once you start looking at the world and you start desiring and coveting the things of the world, you're going to lose that. And then when something bad happens, how can you allow this to happen? You're not doing your job. We're here for this reason. So Jesus says, don't worry. God's going to provide. He's going to give you food. He's going to give you drink. He's going to clothe you. So don't worry. Trust Him. Trust in your Father. Your Father, by the way, as we talked about before, who loves you with the same love that He has for His Son. In Romans chapter 8, this is fantastic. Romans chapter 8. Beginning of verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now listen to this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up over for, or delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Do we really think that he's going to withhold something from us? He gave us his son. And we think that he's going to not take care of us or not provide for us or not sustain us? He's giving you the greatest gift that he ever could give. The Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we possibly think? How could we dare to think that he would not provide our necessities? Let's look at God's providence. Verse 32. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now, this is, at this point, I want to discuss with you on God's providence. What does it mean? If we understand, as we've been talking about, that God is absolutely sovereign over everything in His creation, and that's why we are so emphatic that God is not only sovereign over everything in creation, which most people will agree to, most Christians, that He is also then sovereign over salvation. There is not one part that is outside of the control of God. If we know that He's sovereign over all, then we have to understand too that God is actively involved in His creation, working and doing whatever it is that He desires to do for His will, for His glory. One writer said, God is continually involved with all created things in such a way that He keeps them existing and maintaining the properties with which He created them. He cooperates with created things in every action, directing their distinctive properties to cause them to act as they do, and directs them to fulfill His purposes. God is actively involved in every part of creation. Creation does what it's supposed to do. God doesn't wind it up and set it off to the side and hope that it unwinds the correct way. He is actively involved. There's a few passages of Scripture I would like to share with you. In Psalm 104, verse 29, this is talking about the animals and all this sort of thing. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. If God was to remove that at any given time, they would return to the dust. In Job 34, verses 14 and 15, if He determined to do so, if He should gather to Himself His spirit and His breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to the dust. If God should will it and remove His spirit, remove the breath of life, all flesh would perish and return to the dust. Every moment is sustained by God. Paul says to the men of Athens in Acts 17, in Him we live and have our being. Every moment you have is given to you, granted to you by the mercy and grace of God. He governs the universe. He's actively involved in everything, including mankind. It's God who maintains our existence. It's when we speak of His providence. Everything happens according to His will because He's actively involved in it. But as He says in the text here, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. the Gentiles, the unbelievers, they don't have this knowledge of God's sovereignty, of God's providence, and so they continue to strive after the wind. They continue to labor and worry of the things of this world because that's all they know. They don't have this understanding of God. They don't have the understanding that everything that happens is according to the sovereign hand of God. Perhaps they look at it as something as a coincidence or something that happens in the universe and they hope it's to their favor. They have a number of different off-the-wall views, trying to reason through, trying to have some kind of comfort in this life. You have the knowledge. You have the knowledge that God is sovereign. You have the knowledge of God's providence. They don't. They are in darkness. They are blinded by the god of this world, as the Scripture tells us. They continually seek for the things that perish. And in seeking after the things that perish, worry and anxiety is a daily part. But for us who trust in Christ, for us that trust God, those that are the children of God, we shouldn't have this kind of worry in our life. Paul says in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. So you know what you do when worry starts creeping in? You seek after God. You continually remind yourself of the things that we're looking at today. I'm worried about this, but my Lord says He cares for me more than the birds of the air. My Lord says He cares for me and He will clothe me just as He does, and even more so, the grass of the field. My Lord tells me that I am more valuable than anything else in His creation. This is something you have to continually preach to yourself. Our minds only take in so much and we easily forget. We have a short memory and it is absolutely vital you continue to preach this to yourself. The Gentiles don't have this knowledge. You've been granted it, and yet we have little faith. One writer said, on the day of judgment, the pagans will stand up in judgment against us. And he was saying that in reference to the fact of how it is that the unbelievers, especially the pagans in the biblical times and even those that adhere to different religions today, labor for their God, a false God. We have the true knowledge of the true God. We've been granted repentance, the forgiveness of sins, and yet we don't believe much of what He says. We don't labor for Him as much as they labor for a false God. The Gentiles eagerly seek these things. They labor for it. They worry. They're anxious about it. They're serving these false gods. And yet, us having the true knowledge of God, we don't. We don't labor as they do. But look at this. The reason why we don't, much of the time, is because God does not have the priority in our lives as He should. Here's what Jesus says. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The idea of seeking there is laboring for, desiring it, following after it. You seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Those are synonymous with one another. When you're seeking the kingdom, you're seeking the righteousness of the kingdom. When you're seeking the righteousness of God, you're seeking His kingdom. They're used in that way. Everything that we've discussed so far in the Sermon on the Mount about righteousness, about governing ourselves under the law of God, all of these things, Seek this first, because God should be that priority first in your life, that you're doing everything to please Him first before anything else, before yourself, before other people. You're laboring first to please God. That is the priority that God should have in our life. He doesn't take second to anything, to anyone. And yet that's the place that we put Him. We put Him second. We put Him in such a place where everything else takes precedence over what decisions that we make, when we should be seeking Him first. And especially in the matters that we are talking about here. You know, this idea of seeking is really given even more so a better understanding in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 12. Jesus says this: "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force." Now, He's not talking about unbelievers here. He's not talking about some outside force or some outside whoever trying to take over the kingdom. He's talking about believers in this passage. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is forcibly entered," is the idea there. "It's forcibly entered, and violent men seize it for themselves." There should be such a striving by you to first seek His kingdom in everything that you're trying to seize it by force. You're trying to lay hands on it, trying to pursue it diligently, relentlessly. It's not just something that you're trying to think to yourself, "Well, I need to put God first in my life, and perhaps I'll pray at this time, or perhaps I'll do this," or whatever. You're forcibly seeking the kingdom. You're laboring for it. You're exerting yourself, your strength. Entrance into the kingdom requires the utmost strength in pursuing it. You know, Paul says, "I seek to lay hold of that, lay hold on that which is laid hold of me." Is that a reality in your life? Are you trying to seek the kingdom by force? One great book I just read by the Puritan Thomas Watson, Heaven Taken by Storm. And in that book, he's going over that passage of Scripture, and he's talking about seizing not just this the Scripture itself, but you're forcibly seeking to understand the righteousness of it. You're forcibly seeking prayer. You're seeking to labor for God in service to Him. You're actively involved. You're pursuing it with diligence. That's what we're talking about with seeking first the kingdom. That kind of energy, that kind of strength that is given, that we give, rather, in putting God first, giving Him the priority in our life that He should take. He is second to none. And yet that's where we put Him. We only seem to perhaps put God first on Sundays or on Wednesdays for an hour on each day whenever we come in here. Every other day of the week is only doing what we desire to do. God doesn't have the priority in our life as He should. But when you're seeking the kingdom in this way, He says, "All these things will be added to you." All the things that life, you know, throws at us, and the obstacles that are put in our way, and worry creeps in a little bit, and we're wondering how to feed ourselves and all that. Jesus says, don't worry about all that. Seek the kingdom first, and God's going to provide for you because He already knows what you need. Don't take your eyes off of the prize. Don't let your treasure be anything other than God. Keep here. Keep on the path. Don't veer to the right or to the left, as he says in other passages in the Old Testament. You keep straight. Keep on the straight and narrow. God takes care of the rest. You work, do what you can, and that the means that God has provided, but know and understand that it's God that's going to continue your existence until the time comes when He takes you out of here. And that's where He's going in verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You take care of today. You worry about today in the sense of getting your priorities in line, understanding that God is the sovereign one, preaching to yourself of all the things that we've been talking about thus far, trying to overcome worry would be a better way to say, through reminding yourself of God's sovereignty and His providence. Make arrangements for the next day, give preparation for the next day, but don't worry about the next day. You worry about today. You worry about making sure God has the priority in your life as He should. You worry about that today. Tomorrow will take care of itself, because each new day, God gives new strength for the day. His mercies are new every morning, as the Scripture tells us. So you worry about those things for tomorrow. Take care of today. Do what is necessary for you to do in service to Christ. And then tomorrow, it'll take care of itself. Because tomorrow, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to wake up. If you're granted another breath of life, you're going to breathe. You're going to work. You're going to toil. You're going to live your life as having God as your first priority. And then the cares of this world, the things that try to steal away your joy, you're going to have to do it tomorrow as well. Remind yourself of the value that you have in the sight of God. We have to get to a point, folks, where we trust what God says. Because it is sin. It is the sin of unbelief when we don't. So don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to clothe yourself with. Because your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these. Seek first His kingdom, and He'll take care of the rest. Let's stand if you would. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we again thank You. Father, thank You for Your care, for the way You provide for us. As Your Word says, You are Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Father, encourage our hearts this morning. Comfort our hearts this morning. Strengthen them that we trust in what You say and we do not allow ourselves to be weighed down with worry and anxiety. This is not of You. Father, You sent Christ into the world to give us His joy and peace. It's only when we turn our eyes from You that joy and peace is absent. Help us, Father, by Your Spirit to keep ourselves focused on You, knowing that You're sovereign, knowing that You are in full control and actively involved in everything. Father, help us in our unbelief. Father, we thank You that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can come to know these great truths, and our hearts can be comforted and encouraged through them. Thank You for this text. Thank You for being who You are, the sovereign God who is merciful and gracious to us mere creatures. Father, to You be the praise, honor, and glory in all things. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's children said, Amen.